ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Corner Store Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Koval. In the building, we have a very special guest this afternoon. But I do want to say that I hope you are well, and I know we find ourselves in odd and precarious times. I hope you're maintaining, taking care of yourself, taking care of your loved ones, and taking care of your community and communities. And certainly our guest, in the Corner Store today is someone who does this, for her life's work. We have Aisha Butler in the building. She is the co-founder and executive director of Rage Englewood. Rage is the resident association of Greater Englewood, and they mobilize people and resources to create change in this great and historic neighborhood. Welcome to the Corner Store, and so great to have you.
Thank you for that introduction. I'm glad to be here. Yes, that is us, the Resident Association of Greater Englewood. Even though you asked the pronunciation, it's Aisha.
Aisha. Oh, yes. I put it in
that.
My bad.
I know. But no, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me tonight.
No, Aisha, thank you. And I know, we've seen each other in community spaces for a long time, but I want to get into your history, but can you tell us, a little about how Rage came to be, and certainly what you guys do?
So it was really a few of us here in our community. It goes back to a larger story about when I first started volunteering through a lot of the organizations in Englewood. And while I was volunteering, I was also starting to be in spaces around neighborhood planning and conversations around development. And I just noticed that it wasn't people at the table who lived there who was at these tables, right? And so I'm volunteering, I'm meeting people. I was doing a youth project, Docs and Dialogue with the Films. And I started meeting a whole bunch of residents, people like Tonika Johnson, so many like folks who were watching the work and was like, I live here too. I want to be involved. What could we do? But we didn't have a structure. And so I was working at an association, the Institute of Real Estate Management. People know it as IREM for short. And I was like, it needs to be an association. If all of us all believe that this community has change agents, whose voices need to be heard, and maybe if we come together as one voice, it will be heard. And so that was the premise. And so it was very, very grassroots, and we came together, and it was about 13 of us. And because Englewood has every single element that a community could have, we didn't know where to start to do the work. Like, what are we gonna do? But then we listened to the people in terms of priorities, and then start working on initiatives that folks felt was important at that time. And so that's really how we continue to work. What's important, what's buzzing right now that is impacting residents that we can respond to and try to find a resolve and mobilize whatever that is, resources or campaigns or lifting up voices, providing platforms, anything we could do on the local level here for the residents of England.
You said when you started to go to some of these community meetings, these development meetings, you wouldn't see people from Englewood at these meetings. And I could imagine who was at these meetings. But can you tell us, like, who are some of the people who are trying to, develop Englewood?
Yeah, so the tables are very different today. Thank God for Rage. So honestly, what's happening now, Rage and other partners from the community are working on development projects. I mean, we evolved to that level. But when we initially, 10 years ago, got started, most of them would be practitioners, urban planners, architects, city folks, community development corporations, practitioners who may know one or two residents in a community that, hey, this is cool, let's just keep rolling. And we just didn't allow that, we wanted to co-create some of the designs, and if we didn't know how to do it, we wanted to learn how to do it. And so a lot of those plans, they came into the community, Green Healthy Neighborhood Plan, Quality of Life, from at other forces. But when you get enough residents at the table, regardless of where the forces came from, the residents own it and move it. And so when I first got started, that wasn't happening. And then once we start building our base and start getting people involved, now that's the norm, I would say the culture that we built in Inglewood now.
Which is incredible that you guys have in such a small period of time, 10 years is not that long, have shifted the culture. When you say outside forces, you know, I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but I imagine that they are both local, city, state, and federal forces. Yeah.
On every level. I mean, if you think about the day and age of where we are now, and everybody is in an uprise over racial injustice, the forces have always operated in the space. And so usually those are the ones who are, you know, they have a playbook of what they do in urban communities, right? So like, you know, first it's white, then it's white flight, and then the jobs are gone, the businesses leave, it becomes urban, it becomes desolated and abandoned, everything is abandoned. You don't feel it's a light at all at the end of the tunnel at these communities. And then all of a sudden, the capitalist, the racial, sometimes biases, forces who use this in policy start looking at now that particular geographical area is possibly an asset. So what would we think it? We had, you know, we urbanized it and kicked everybody out. We redlined. We did contract buying. We did everything in Inglewood to make sure that blacks did not require wealth. And then we wait 40 years later and just thought, this could be a wealthy geographical area if it was planned right. And so those forces are real. And they're disguised as government. They're disguised as developers. They're disguised as initiatives. And you just have to be, not as conspiracy theorists, but you just have to be mindful that if you look at the landscape of America in urban areas, it is a pattern. And so the next pattern that we're supposed to be in now is a gentrification pattern.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
Right.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
And so we that's what we're up against, because this is unbeknownst to any entity in particular. This is just how America works.
And I think that's a really important point, that Inglewood is unique unto itself, and it has its own rich history, and it's in its own moment. But it is also, as you're saying, it is also things that are cyclical in urban development across the country, if not the world. And so I want to talk, and by the way, if you're just to remind folks, I'm talking with Aisha Butler, the co-founder and executive director of Rage Inglewood, a community organizing force in Inglewood. Inglewood is in a particularly, incredible and I would imagine, divisive moment, in the sense that, you guys seem to be, as you say, in a moment where it should be gentrification. And a few years ago, at 63rd and Halsted, Whole Foods came. There's been the redevelopment of Kennedy King. And I know that there are other developmental forces that are, have kind of has its eyes set on this, this neighborhood that is, really just south of downtown, that is off of, public transit, a number of great public transit options. So some of that, like the Whole Foods, for instance, is this something, right, how do you as a community resident and organizer feel about, a Jeff Bezos project landing in the middle of your neighborhood?
Yeah, when those conversations started, our base was not that strong. We were just kind of starting out. And at the time, that particular alderman, because that's just a title, but again, this is a part of the forces of how urbanized communities are done. The alderman was in cahoots and having a conversation with the current administration, with CEO of Whole Foods. So we were out of the conversation. We wasn't even asked to go. And then actually I had an ally at the city who said, hey, I think you need to come to this meeting about economic development. And so I came, I pulled up, and it was like when I first started, it wasn't any other presidents in the room. But Whole Foods was interested as a corporate partner. They said, you know, we watch Rage, we know the work that you do, and we don't want to plop in here, and we want to work with community. And so the deal was done. We could have tried to fight it if we wanted to, but when I got pulled to the table, the deal was pretty much a done deal, right? And so I just said, okay, how do we do this in a way that's equitable for Inglewood? So what's unique about this model, what we did, which is to me a model that should be followed in a lot of ways, we didn't do a benefits agreement, but we had an understanding. And what we did with our understanding here was that Black entrepreneurs will have a pipeline to get on the shelves at this Whole Foods. And we want to make sure that local folks are on those shelves. And we probably, that's a story that's not told, over 40 local Black entrepreneurs were on the shelves at that Whole Foods.
Wow.
So it's not a narrative people want to talk about, but this is how we had an understanding. Not necessarily anything in writing, but we partnered up to think about all the different things that we could do to make this right. And then the other developers, you know, who managed this, they just follow suit with the Chipotle and everything else. Now, normally Whole Foods does equal gentrification. I mean, that's, again, going with the urban pattern, right? And it's usually the same players that are a part of the urban pattern. I do think the work that we're doing right now as a collective with Go Green on Racine turned the tide. This is the Inner City Muslim Action Network with Rami Nasashibi. This is Teamwork Inglewood with Cecile DeMello. This is Aisha Butler of Rage. And this is Dion Lucas of E.G. Woods doing a core door revitalization at 63rd and Racine. It is infused with local wealth, community ownership, workforce development, recidivism, health. And so sometimes we hear from the powers to be, oh, it's just too much, y'all all over the place, right? Y'all trying to do everything. Inglewood needs everything, right? So you can't build homes, which is what sometimes the logic is with the urban pattern of gentrification, build homes, right? Drive up the market, push them out. And so it's talks like that that I'm just trying to make sure I keep my eyes on. And so I became a developer myself. And I did one project to rehab a house. I just wanted to learn enough to try to do more and do more.
Wow.
And so I'm having conversations with House, and I actually was with Commissioner Cox and Commissioner Navarro yesterday, walking the area around some of the vision that I could see for housing in that corridor around 63rd and Racine. So it has evolved, and it evolved with the several initiatives or campaigns or partnerships that we have, and also the innovation of the people from Inglewood. Rage is an innovation magnet. It's an innovation magnet. It's so much innovation that I can't even talk no more.
give us a sense, because, you know, of course, and this happens in communities around the country, but Inglewood and Chicago, both locally and nationally, is a code word for, you know, a bunch of shit that runs rampant in the white supremacist imagination. And so for someone who is there, for someone who is on the ground, for someone who is privy to all of this ingenuity that's taking place in Inglewood, give us a snapshot of, and I want to talk about all of the work that Rage has been doing in shelter and during the uprising, but just give us a sense of like all of like the, you know, this entrepreneurial spirit that is really kind of taking over Inglewood from residents.
Yeah, it's really what we are in the academic world as well. So we are in so many spaces, right? And so some academics or either folks who want to say what the model probably is closer to, if they can tag it as something, will probably say social entrepreneurship. I think most of the things we do is not necessarily to generate a huge profit, but it's just to make sure that equity and wealth goes back into the community. So that means something has to spill over, right? And so if you do the work from that way and also with a social lens, to make, you know, if you, you know, the idea of which I need to look at the news, it was a vote at CPS today around the repurposing of Wood School for our project, the Regenerator. So this would be workforce and jobs and training. And so to me, across the street should be what happens when you leave this space, right? Like if you grew enough that you have now did the training, you're a welder, you're making enough money, you don't need to necessarily be at the Regenerator anymore. It is a house that you helped build across the street from you that you are now eligible to get. And so I think coming from that space, I don't know what it's called, but I know that's the spirit and the culture of our work.
Right.
And so that's the kind of innovation I think about when I think about how we're thinking about the projects we're involved in.
Brilliant. Yeah. And if you can, I mean, I've been trying to keep up social media and otherwise just seeing, you know, how busy, how many projects you all have taken on, the kind of advocacy work, the kind of community organizing, the kind of resource distribution you guys have been doing in shelter and since the uprising. If you could just give us a little sense of some of the work in the last 9 months and over the summer that you guys have been, responsible for.
Yeah, I mean, believe it or not, we thought we would be less busy with the COVID because just rightfully so. The word association is rooted in socializing, right? So we're an association. Gathering of people and community building is our thing, right? And so that's how we built such a great network. And our theme is always connect, build, and then you take action. And so with us, it's been a lot of connectivity, a lot of building during this time because we can't really technically see each other to take a lot of action. But we were food distributors. Like we had never thought that we had to pivot our whole operation to be a full-on food distribution operation. You know, spreadsheets, delivery times, data. And so we was able to pivot to do that. And honestly, we feel like that gave us deeper connections with residents who didn't know who we were. Some of the seniors that sometimes are not able to get to village meetings now know us and appreciate us and follow us. You know, they're all on Facebook, right? And
right.
So we've done that. We've partnered with the Inglewood Arts Collective. It was a corner store. It's been boarded up. The sad part about Inglewood was that when I went out after looting on June 1st, I could not tell what was looted or not because so many storefronts and these corridors are boarded up. And so one of the places that's a hot spot over here on 66th and Halsted, it's a boarded up corner store. The Inglewood Arts Collective tricked it all the way out from Pugs to Cujo to Just Flow to Z. They hooked it up.
Yeah.
We partnered with Artspace and then also at the Art Market is stocked daily with donations of non-perishable items, essential items. And then we do market days up there just to tell people about other resources or things that we've heard about. So it's almost like a village meeting on wheels, like at the market and moving around the community still as a resource hub.
Yeah, and I've been to that space at 66th and Halsted, and it's stunning. It's beautiful, and I love those artists and love the alt space folks and just that vision for a a countering of public space in some ways, or like an insertion of good in the public space. So I want to go back. I want to go back a little just into your own story, and you know, you mentioned, which I think is probably maybe one of the first times that we met, a program you were running, the Docs and Dialogue. And so is that how you started? I mean, is that how you started organizing, or even before then? I'm just curious how you got in this work.
Oh, I know. So my mom tells me that I've been an organizer for life. Like, she was like, you used to organize your birthday parties. You've always been that. But really, I was volunteering. And so I think what a unique trait about myself is the ability to see a gap and work towards filling it. I think it's actually various things. One of the fundamental things is where I'm rooted from. You know, I wouldn't exist if my mama and my father or my grandfather did not migrate to Inglewood. So it's where what I stand on. And so that's first. And then I think it's also where I found love. So it's also a place where, you know, my life would have been different if I wasn't here. You know, back in the day, people always to be like, you're not from Inglewood. You're not from Inglewood. And I wanted to be like, yes, I am. I rep Inglewood. Because people don't see, you know, sometimes folks like myself here, and I just want to show that it's people like here, like me here. It's people like the members of Rage, and like, how do we really support each other and build together? And it's like, it's this concept I have, like, in high school, where, like, it's like, you just bully us, you know, you bully us so bad. And I've always have taken up for the underdog. I always wanted to see the underdog succeed. And so I feel like we've been just such an underdog, and I just got, like, it's like, when I think about my high school years, I feel like it's my crew that I had to defend, that I knew was brilliant, that I knew was smart, and people, you know, try to bully them. So it's that. And then it just since I started the work, it's filled my soul with so much joy that I just couldn't even imagine leaving that feeling.
Well, Aisha Butler, you represent lovely. And thank you so much for the work that you do. And thanks so much for being in the corner store today.
Yeah, thank you so much. I loved it.
Shout out our super producer, DJ Cashera. Big up boss man, Todd Manley. Thank you to our official corner store photog, Mercedes Zapata. Salutes to the snack door, Max. Also, please, y'all, follow our Instagram. It's corner_pod on IG, on Twitter. Tell us who you want to see in the corner store. And also, please consider dropping a couple of dollars into our Patreon account. It's patreon.com/cornerstore_pod.
The Corner Store is brought to you by Stolen Spirits.